Welcome to Whatever the Case, Stryker's official ASC podcast, which features interviews with leading experts in the ASC space, focused on the clinical, operational, and financial considerations that go into ASC ownership. We hope to bring you valuable perspectives and insights to enhance your understanding of the ASC market. Because whatever the case, we've got you covered. Welcome to episode 2 of Stryker's Whatever the Case podcast, where this season we are taking a closer look at what it really takes to build a successful ASC from the ground up. In our last episode, we introduced Stryker's New Build Playbook, an interactive guide that walks through the full ASC development journey across 8 key phases. We gave a broad overview of each stage, and today we're diving into phase 1, concept generation, which really can be anywhere from 3 to 4 years prior to the center doing first cases and being fully operational. And this is the phase where every successful project really begins. This is the stage where your ideas start to take shape, legal entities are formed, business plans are built, consultants are brought in, partners are chosen, specialties are defined. These are really the early decisions that set the tone for everything that comes next, and getting them right is critical. So joining me today is someone who's done exactly that, Dr. Arthur Valladay, an orthopedic surgeon and president of Coastal Orthopedics in Bradenton, Florida. In 2022, Dr. Valladay led his group through the launch of their third ASC, and he brings both a clinical and strategic lens to what it really takes to move from vision to viable concept. So Dr. Valladay, welcome to the show. To get us started, I would love for you to just tell us a little bit about yourself and your experience with ASC development.
Hi, Dana. Thanks for having me. I'm an orthopedic surgeon in an independent group on the west coast of Florida. We've been involved in ambulatory surgery center development for over 25 years. Our journey started with a small surgery center, which we eventually outgrew, and then we built a larger facility that we subsequently outgrew. So about 3 years ago, we opened a new consolidated ASC with 6 operating rooms. It's located in a medical office building that we own. We are an orthopedics-only center offering the full spectrum of orthopedic surgery, including robust total joint and spine programs.
Well, thank you, Dr. Valladay. We're really glad to have you here. And you're a contributor to the playbook. So we're very excited to hear your perspectives firsthand on phase 1. And today we're going to explore a range of topics, like what the very first steps look like when a group decides to build an ASC, how to identify the right partners and consultants, what makes for a strong business plan, and then maybe some common pitfalls to avoid during the concept generation phase. So whether you're a physician thinking about starting your own center, an administrator looking to understand the full picture, we hope this conversation today will bring some practical insights from someone who's been through it firsthand. But before we get fully into phase 1, I actually want to zoom out for just a moment, and I'm going to call this, quote, phase 0. And that's really just focusing on the why. So what's been driving the interest in building ASCs today? Why are physicians, hospitals, other stakeholders really prioritizing this model in today's landscape?
Well, I believe physicians need to be involved in as many aspects of the healthcare delivery system as possible, or we risk losing clinical and financial control of the system. And there are several reasons why physicians would want to start and own a surgery center. First, ownership gives some degree of control over things such as patient care, the facility, the staff, and ultimately the quality of the surgical experience. Secondly, clinical care continues to be devalued in our healthcare system. I believe it's important for physicians to participate in the financial upside of healthcare, and surgery centers offer one of those opportunities. And thirdly, there's a strong cultural and cohesion benefit. Surgery centers bring physicians together and other stakeholders around a common purpose and align them as business partners. And this also gives us access to another important ancillary in healthcare, which is the real estate where the surgery center is housed. And one important component of the why question is that as the healthcare system and healthcare delivery evolves, the physicians are starting to be marginalized. More of them are simply becoming employees in the system and having less input into the clinical and financial aspects of healthcare delivery. So for physicians to be viable economically, we have to be involved in how we deliver care. So again, we can have our hand in clinical quality, patient experience, efficiency of care, cost effectiveness of care, and also achieve some financial reward for that involvement.
I appreciate you level setting on the why, and now we're going to move into the what. So can you talk us through what concept generation typically involves and really why it's such a critical starting point for building a new ASC?
When a group of physicians is considering building a surgery center, there are some foundational questions that need to be addressed right at the beginning. Firstly, do they have the case volume and the right case mix to generate the revenue needed to support a viable surgery center? And secondly, are they willing to commit the capital and take on the risk? Once those questions have been answered, the group needs to assess whether their volume can support a single specialty center or if a multi-specialty model is necessary to achieve adequate case volume. While single specialty centers offer operational and cultural advantages, those benefits disappear quickly if the volume isn't there. Once those questions are answered, the group can start thinking about how large the center needs to be, which helps determine the cost side of the project. And then another early decision is the group has to decide whether to remain independent or bring in a corporate partner. While in our experience, we've been happy being independent, there are legitimate reasons to consider a corporate partner, especially in certificate of need states or when maintaining referral relationships is critical, if access to capital is limited, or if the group needs help with payer contracts.
I appreciate the overview and you highlighting some of those key questions and considerations that a group really needs to ask themselves before embarking on this journey. So now I'm going to ask you to drill down just a little bit. I'd love to know in your experience when you think about phase one and concept generation, what do you think is the most important thing to get right early on in this phase? And then what decisions do you feel most define the direction of the project?
There are several critical elements to get right in the early phase of concept generation of a surgery center. Probably the most important is choosing your partners carefully. You need to have surgeons who will deliver high quality care so that your surgery center's clinical product is something you can be proud of. It's also important that they're honest and realistic about their committed case volume, because case volume is really the currency of a surgery center. If your partners don't follow through on their volume commitments over the long, create major challenges. Secondly, it's truly essential to build an accurate business model, and I recommend engaging a consultant for this part. The business model needs to incorporate projected case volume and payer mix so that you can estimate revenue. From there, you can determine the size and scope of the facility and begin to estimate build costs and operational costs. And that way, early on, you can assess whether your project is financially viable.
Dr. Valade, you talked about physician partners and ensuring that you have the right volume to set the stage for the rest of the project. When you think about physician partners or investors early on in this stage, what other qualities are you looking for?
As we discussed earlier, alignment is essential. The physician partners need to share a commitment to building a successful surgery center. And that means being willing to contribute as much appropriate case volume as possible and being dedicated to delivering a high-quality surgical product. If the surgeon's primary goal is their own financial gain, it can create friction and misalignment. Success requires a shared focus on making a single surgery center thrive. Now, for example, ownership in multiple centers where a surgeon might be financially motivated to favor one center over another can become problematic.
We didn't talk much about specialty selection. What do you feel about?
My thoughts on specialty selection is that there's a ton of efficiency gained by single specialty centers in terms of equipment, reproducibility, efficiency. And there are certainly specialties that are favored from a financial standpoint over others at different phases of the evolution of ASCs. So, you know, my preference would be a single specialty center if you can do it. We call those sort of specialized factories, so to speak. But if you don't have the case volume or you don't have surgeons that are not affiliated with the surgery center available in your market, sometimes you have to make compromises. That's kind of my thought on it.
You also talked about the importance of the business plan. So in your opinion, what makes a business plan both strong and realistic? And what are some of the common pitfalls groups should try to avoid?
Fundamentally, a strong business plan has to be accurate both on the revenue and the expense side. As we discussed, committed case volume is key, but you also have to be realistic about land, construction, and financing costs, as well as the time it takes to complete a project. Development of a project can take 2 or 3 years, and much can change during that time, so your fundamental assumptions have to be set. Common pitfalls that we see include surgeons committing to bring case volume and then failing to do so once the surgery center's up and running for a variety of reasons, such as competing ownership interests or hospital loyalty or logistical barriers. We've also seen some projects where surgeons attempt to bring patients in from distant locations, only to discover that it's too inconvenient for either them or their patients. These issues are a little less severe when the group of surgeons is cohesive and aligned, but when the partners come from disparate practices with disparate cultures and goals, challenges can arise.
One last question on the topic of business plans. I'm really curious if you could share an example of a time when you had to significantly adapt your business plan after the initial concept, or even just how business planning for ASCs maybe has evolved over the last several years.
We've had several instances of that, and I think a business plan and your business priorities have to evolve over time because the environment evolves. You know, we started in a small two-room center that did arthroscopy and hand surgery, and as we outgrew that, we built a larger center to accommodate more volume. And then we saw this rapid increase in higher acuity cases such as total joints and spine. So we had to build another center that had much larger sterile processing, much more storage, much larger ORs to be able to accommodate these kinds of cases. So there's a constant evolution. And what your center looks like today is not necessarily what it's going to look like in 5 to 10 years. So you would like to build some flexibility into your project if you can. And there are other operational challenges that come up that are going to change your operational plan. If you look at the inflationary environment over the last 5 years and the dramatic wage escalation we've seen, our surgery center business has had to pay much more attention to operational efficiencies to accommodate the increased cost in an environment where we can't really raise our prices.
Yeah, I definitely appreciate all of those perspectives and certainly good watch outs to take into account and consider. When we think about engaging with health systems or management companies as partners as well, outside of just physicians? At what point in this process should they be brought in? And how do you know when the timing is right?
There are a variety of different ownership models. And so they go with an independent center or a corporate partnership with a hospital or a health system or an ASC corporate partner. And they both have they all have their strengths and weaknesses. Ideally, you would make the decision about what you're going to do early on, but you can evolve down the road. Now, I will say that if you pick a corporate partner early on, it's much harder to extricate yourself from that situation than to bring on a corporate partner once you're up and running.
That's a really great point. So alignment with physicians, understanding the path that you're going to go down, whether you're going to use a partner or not, will be critical. And then I'm sure it will define or at least influence many of the steps forthcoming. And on the same note of ownership, we're definitely starting to see the ownership landscape evolve, certainly favoring more partnerships lately. So can you just walk us through, in your opinion, some of the pros and cons of the different ASC ownership models, whether being physician only, a joint venture, et cetera?
Different ownership models have their different strengths and weaknesses. Independent ownership with a single orthopedic group like we have is clean and relatively easy to manage, because there's typically cultural alignment. And the upside is that the physician owners have control and receive the rewards, but the downside is that they assume all the risk and provide all the capital. We've been fortunate to use that model. But in other cases, different models make sense. Historically, one of the biggest drivers for corporate partners has been the certificate of need regulations. In some states, groups have had to bring in a hospital partner to be able to participate in a surgery center. As we've seen some of the certificate of need issues diminish, we've seen other issues increase or rise in terms of their prevalence. And one example of that is the increasing challenges with payer negotiations. So even though independent centers may have less of an issue with certificate of need regulations, it's gotten increasingly difficult to negotiate reasonable contracts with payers. So we're seeing some centers choose or bring on a third-party corporate partner solely for contracting, even if they don't really need any managerial or operational expertise. At the same time, we've also seen a significant increase in the cost of capital. So groups that used to be able to do their own center when capital costs were low, now that interest rates are so high, another issue is, again, simply access to financing, and that can drive people more towards a corporate partnership. You know, there are different reasons to have corporate partners that we discussed, including certificate of need issues, referral patterns, relationships, and contracts. So you just have to look at what your market situation is and what your needs are. Corporate partners that are going to bring you payer contracts, but maybe get out of the way from an operational standpoint and let you do your thing. And there are other corporate partners that are going to bring payer contracts, but they're going to be much more involved in the day-to-day operations and the day-to-day management of the center. And you got to try to flesh that out as you pick a partner. Usually when you spend time with them and you understand how they do things and what their business model is, it's fairly evident how much involvement they want or need.
Okay, let's shift the topic to consultants. We actually heard this emphasized during a lunch and learn that we sponsored last month at the Ambulatory Surgery Center Conference, and that is the importance of not doing this alone. So in your view, and I know you mentioned you hired consultants earlier on in our conversation, who are those essential consultants that need to be brought in during the early phases? When should they be engaged? And then what role do they play in shaping a successful project?
It's a great question, Dana. While most physicians and physician groups can wrap their head around the basic framework of building a successful ASC, there are so many technical details involved that we simply don't have the expertise in that I would recommend choosing some consultants early and wisely. And that would include a variety of different things. There are so many complexities around planning and regulatory compliance and zoning and construction that we really need some help with these details. One recommendation I would make, if possible, for new builds is to structure the real estate as a separate ancillary, and then the physicians have the ability to participate not just in the surgery center operating entity, but also in the benefits of real estate ownership. I would recommend, if you're going to do that, to use an owner's rep, and there's a variety of them that you can use that can help you with the business plan development for the center, but also the business plan development for the real estate. And that way you don't have to give ownership of your real estate project to a developer. As you move forward with the process, you can hire architects and contractors to work on the facility. But sometimes if they're separate, there can be miscommunication and malalignment between what the architects think is feasible and what the construction company thinks is feasible and what fits within the business plan in terms of cost. So the other model that we use is a design build firm, where the design portion and the construction portion are linked together with one entity. And in our experience, that really helped with communication throughout the whole process, so that the design of the project is consistent with what can actually be built, which fits within the cost of the business plan. We used BBL Construction out of Albany, New York, along with their affiliated design partner, and we couldn't have been happier. In terms of the surgery center operating entity, there are specialized consultants who can help with the truly complex regulatory and licensing side of the projects, And I would recommend choosing ones that don't have an interest in an ownership stake, if at all possible.
Dr. Valade, those were great insights. Thank you. We've definitely covered a lot of ground today. We've talked about business plans. We've talked about partner selection, consultant support. So it's really clear that phase one isn't just about having a good idea, but really having a solid foundation for every phase to follow. I'd love to hear what you feel is the most underrated or overlooked decision during the concept generation phase. And then I'll let you add on any final advice that you'd share with listeners about to embark on this journey.
Choosing the right partners is truly critical. You have to choose partners you can work with over the long term who do what they said they were going to do and will put the project ahead of their personal interest. I will tell you that another often overlooked factor is having well thought out buy-in and buyout arrangements in the operating agreement. We've seen centers stagnate or go out of business when there wasn't a clear, fair process for bringing in new young surgeons who are the lifeblood of a surgery center and for transitioning out those surgeons who are no longer contributing to the success of the product. One piece of advice or a few final pieces would to be honest and realistic from the start, make sure you have alignment amongst your surgeons and make sure you build a business plan that can evolve and can weather market changes. When you pick your consultants, pick ones who specialize in healthcare and have done this before. And it's also important to have physician champions who are engaged and will be involved in the project all the way through the finish.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Valade, for being with us today and sharing your experiences. Your perspectives truly are valuable for anyone navigating this complex but certainly rewarding process. So to our listeners, if you haven't already, check out Stryker's New Build Playbook. It's available at stryker.com/ASC, where you can explore phase one in more detail and then follow along with the full 8-phase journey. We will be back next month covering phase two, where we'll tackle project launch, where your vision and ideas get put into action and the physical design of your center starts to take shape. Until then, I'm Dana McInnes, and this has been Whatever the Case. Thanks for listening. Dr. Arthur Valade is a paid consultant of Stryker. His viewpoints and opinions expressed in this podcast are his own and do not necessarily reflect the views of Stryker. Mentions of third-party service providers do not represent an endorsement by Stryker. To learn more about Stryker's ASC business, visit www.stryker.com/ASC.